connected, Lord. Our hearts are open to you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Thank you, Lord. And as your word goes forth, we open up to your holy scriptures, which is able to make us wise and save and transform our souls. We receive the depths of your understanding by your Spirit today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering of praise. Welcome everyone by your side. Make sure there will be no stranger. Make sure there will be no stranger. Tell them, welcome to Church for Pros. Hallelujah. I want you to get to your notes. I want you to get to your notes. We are almost there. Tell your neighbor, we are almost there. Law number what? The last one we've done is law number what? Talk to me, church. 7. Okay, there are some of you that may be new, and so whatever number you meet us at, make sure you go back to get the other laws. These messages are now on Spotify at David Ifechukwu. So you don't need to, you can go on Spotify and stream them anytime you want and take them over and over again. So we are on a series we called, or we teamed, 10 Irrefutable Laws of what? Wealth. Somebody say, 10 Irrefutable Laws of Wealth. And if we want to be specific, it is financial wealth. We are talking about financial wealth because there are other dimensions to wealth, not just finances. And this is what we call God's Wisdom Edition, meaning that we are picking these laws straight from the scriptures. In fact, we've maintained mostly being around the wisdom books, the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. Praise the Lord. And so we are seeing the wisdom of God on how to get wealth. That means to create wealth, to manage wealth, and to multiply wealth. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. The first law we worked on, if you can remember, is the law of what? Come on now, if you're with me. If you have been attending, just, you know, the law of what? Okay, you have to shout it louder so the people around you who are just coming newly can hear. The law of what? The law of purpose and intention. The second law is the law of what? Financial wisdom and financial intelligence. And then the third one is the law of what? Financial vision and financial planning. I hope you've been working on all these things. That's why I didn't teach all of them. I could have taught all of them just brief in 2 services. I'll be through with all of them. Just mention them. I'm always giving 1 week so that you go back and research on them, study them before you come back next Sunday. You can gain better understanding, and then you'll be able to practicalize it. You know, it's the doer that gets the benefit of it, not just the hearer only. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the law of financial vision and finance, I believe that everybody who has been going through this have your financial vision. At least you should have a 10-year financial vision. And at least you should have your 2026 financial goals. If you don't, you're jumping class. You might just say, I want to go straight to the law of the fourth one. What's the fourth one? Income enhancement and what? And multiple earnings. When you jump these classes, it will show there. When you jump, so go back. For example, when you see somebody that is not very diligent and lacks discipline, what's lacking is number one. Purpose is lacking. If you see somebody that is not very disciplined financially, something is lacking. Purpose is lacking. And once purpose is lacking, number three is lacking. Financial vision is lacking. When you have a vision and you're persuaded about that vision, it disciplines you, brings things together so you can achieve your goals. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, so the law of income enhancement and multiple earnings. The fifth one is the law of what? Financial grace. You know, I would have put this last, but I needed to put it here, especially as it connects to the work of our hands. Because it's not of him that wills, and it's not of him that runs. So while you're doing your best physically, you must remember that life no be black and white. Always engage the advantage of grace. Somebody say the advantage of grace. And those who understand this law, you are going to notice that the things that they work on give them more yield than their best naturally would have given them. They always enjoy favors that they didn't earn. They always walk into rooms that they didn't qualify to get into. They always find that there is this favor that works for them and opens doors for them. I'm telling you the truth. Their names are mentioned, their companies, their products are mentioned in places they have no connection. There is no way they would have entered there. So that alone changes a whole lot. When God blesses the works of your hands, it makes the difference. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that law of financial grace and blessing, very powerful. And then number six is the law of what? So you see, from one to five gets you ready to earn. You earn, it multiplies what you earn. But from six, that's when wealth starts. Nobody gets wealthy by how much he earns. You can get rich by how much. For the context of what we are training you into, I'm going to be using poor, I'm going to be using rich, and I'm going to be using wealthy. So sometimes you can use the words interchangeably, rich people. But rich people are not necessarily wealthy people. They are two different things. And what I'm going to focus on today will help to show you seriously more what I mean. It will show you the difference. So this is where it all begins. Stewardship and financial management. It's not about what you earn. It's about what you do with what you earn that makes you wealthy. It's never about what you earn. It's always about what you do with what you earn. Tell your neighbor, it's not about what you earn. It's about what you do with what you earn. Okay, so this is where financial intelligence, hyper intelligence begins to play. Okay, so number seven, the seventh law. That's the one we've done for two Sundays now, right? The law of financial frugality. And what? Habituality. So, the wise saves for the future, but the foolish spends whatever he gets. The wise saves for the future. That's Proverbs 21:20, Living Bible. But the foolish spends whatever he gets. Now, when you read that God's wisdom, he didn't say the wise saves for the future when he has more than enough. The foolish spends whatever he gets when he has more than enough. No, it's a statement. The wise spends, the Living Bible, I didn't say NLT. The wise saves for the future, whether what he earns is enough or not. What will determine whether tomorrow it will be enough is when you start saving. Since it's not enough, no problem. Just save. It's not even enough. Save it now. If you don't save it now, at the age of 70, it will still not be enough. Very important. Nobody earns his way into wealth. The more you earn, the more the needs that will take that thing you're earning rises. When your income rises, needs rise to meet up with it. So if you don't learn how to save little when it's not enough, you will find out that when you're earning much more, that there will be more needs than what you're earning. No matter the millions you earn, the needs will now be always rising higher than it, that it will never be enough. Never forget that. Savings is not about having enough. Savings is about financial vision and financial discipline so you can meet the goals you're setting for the future. Did you get that? You discipline yourself. That's why it starts with frugality. Frugality is not tight-fistedness. No. If you're a tight-fisted person, you can never be wealthy. You can never be wealthy. It's anti-wealth. If you're a stingy person, you can never be wealthy. Never. I'm telling you the truth. It's about understanding priorities, evaluating necessities, and cutting off everything else that is not priority and is not necessity. There are a whole lot of things that people feel like they cannot do without. That if something happens and you put them in another environment, they find that they can live without that thing. I'm telling you. Is going to every aspect of your life and picking out all the places where you're spending beyond necessity and putting them off for a while, because there are goals financially you want to achieve. Somebody say, I hear. Now, listen very carefully. This law of financial frugality and habitual savings is the key to the next law. Anybody that fails in this seventh law won't be able to do well in the eighth law. Once the person fails in the seventh law, the person won't be able to do well in the eighth law. This is what now decides wealth, the eighth law. Law of financial multiplication and investments. It is your discipline to save that gives you the volume, the money you need to make the investments you have to make. Those who don't save don't have the necessary funds they require to make investments and to take advantage of opportunities when they open up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you understanding me? So you must practice having money. Practice it. Money must not keep leaving your hands immediately it comes. Let's look at two scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 1 to 2. And then we're also going to look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, one to two. Hold that neighbor, call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, give me the New King James first. Now, listen to this. Everybody read and read out loud. One, two, go. What's bread? There is seed for sowing and there is bread for eating. Bread stands for provisions. And literally, if you get into the literal context, it's talking about your grains.
your food, things you would have consumed, you would have consumed it. He said, cast it upon the waters, for you will find it. There is a mindset for investment. That what leaves your hand doesn't leave your life. That is leaving your hands doesn't mean it's leaving your life. It goes to multiply, to bring back more into your life. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Verse 2. Ecclesiastes 11. Who is there? Oh God. Give a seven to seven. Watch that. Somebody say seven. Number of perfection. And also to eight. New ones. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Now, when you read it in King James and New King James, you may not understand it fully. So give me the NIV. Go back to verse 1 and verse 2. So make sure you're paying attention. NIV. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it. Verse 2. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster. He said there are certain things that happen. Listen to me, because this is what is going to show you. How many of you come from families where you have a history of your parents being rich, but along the line something happened and then the family fell on hard times? Is that right? Even if it didn't happen to your family, you have relatives it may have happened to. This is the thing. A whole lot of times I told you something when we came to savings, that the aunt is wise, because the aunt knows that even though summer gives it abundance, winter. So when you're in your summer, remember winter. So in summer, it stores up food for what? You remember that? That there are 70 fatted calves, 7 years of abundance. Whenever you see plenty, expect another season is coming. It's wisdom. You don't confess it. You don't pray another season is coming. No. You keep declaring, even in famine, I have abundance. You keep declaring it. But there is a wisdom God uses to produce that abundance and famine. Not just because you're saying it. There is a wisdom. One of those wisdom is to save in times of abundance. When you save, other people will come to buy your grains when there is famine. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. So the point is, people want to create wealth. And they come into good days and good times. They start making money and start seeing money. There are times they think that's how life always. That there are certain times that disaster comes upon the land. Not upon you. God didn't say disaster is coming upon you. But whatever happens on the land affects everybody's economy. Now, it depends on how you're insured. If you're insured against that thing by the blessing, and the blessing is upon you, like Isaac was insured. Even in the days of famine, God appeared to him and said, because your father Abraham obeyed me, I will bless you. So even though there was famine in the land, he said, don't go down to Egypt. I'm going to use another way. And he sowed in the land, and in the same day, in the same year of famine, he had 100-fold. So there is something supernatural ensuring him. So if you have that, then you also have wisdom. Wisdom. So he's showing that you don't know. When you say give portions to 7 years to eight, you don't know what disaster may come upon the land. It's telling you the wisdom of diversification in investment. Because when it comes to investment, you will lose some. Every good investor knows that you're going to lose some.
that there is no way. Every kind of investment comes with risk. But if you are afraid of the risk, you will never grow wealth. So these 7 and 8 talks about diversification. I'm coming. Give me the NLT of it now. Verse 1, NLT. First, hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, receive the wisdom of God. Now read to that neighbor and read out loud. Want to go? Send your grains across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. Again. Okay. Let me close my mouth here. It's not for everybody. There is a place I will talk about this. Send your grain across the sea, and in time, profits will flow back to you. Verse 2. Want to go? But divide your investment among many places. Someone say wisdom. Come on, shout wisdom. Shout again, wisdom. Divide your investments among many places. For you do not know what risk might lie. So I told you that there were so many people that were calling me during this period, and they were telling me, Pastor, things were not working. They were on not one person, not two persons, not three persons. So sometimes when you're going through things, just know that that temptation and trial is common to man. Okay. And what I noticed about most of them, majority of them, is that most of them put all their eggs in one basket. And when inflation began to affect that basket, they fell on hard times because they didn't get this wisdom. Divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk may lie ahead. Give me the GNT of it. How many of you are getting it now? You're getting it. Invest your money in foreign trade. You see how God is talking about this? How many of you have investment in commodities? Don't raise your hands. Why does the wealthy invest in commodities? There is a reason. There are 7 major classes of investments, wealthy men. So some people say, Pastor, how do you make money? Let me tell you something about me. No, I can't talk about myself. I can't. No, let me talk to you about you. It's not about me. You may not see me sell one product, run around. If you understand this thing, you know that life is sweet. If you understand what I'm teaching you now, you know that life is sweet. There was a time I was, and I'm coming back to it for a reason. I'm already preparing a better platform to invest in what we call private equities. It's a class of investment, private equities. Okay? I'm coming back to do that now. But at first, I started doing it and people sunk millions and millions of my investments, even the church's investment. Sunk them. I'm telling you something. And I went to investigate why. Because wherever there is a struggle and things are not working, wisdom is lacking. So I knew wisdom was lacking. I knew I had the right intention. I knew I wanted to help. I knew I was investing in people, but my strategy was wrong. So I went to study it. I found out that in this part of the world, the culture, let me be very trim in what I'm saying. Okay, culture and mindset is somehow The upbringing and the environment gives people certain kinds of mindset. And it's also that mindset gets worse when it comes to church, anything that has to do with religious. So if you're dealing with a pastor, you don't deal with him with as a boss. You call him daddy, even in the office. He's not your daddy, he's his boss. And you expect that when you're dealing with him as pastor, that he's supposed to understand, he's supposed to love you. Listen, nobody gives you, if you want love, go home. That's what family is for. The office space is not for love. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, people extend. They don't know where church and pastor ends. And that's why a whole lot of... it's not in everywhere. There are church organizations that have been able to now entrench that culture. And when you go to those places, you will now notice that they are also very seriously criticized. People say they are apathetic. People say they are wicked, they are heartless. All they want is this. All they want, they just use people. And when you hear those languages, what people are just telling you is that they are strict. They maintain policy and principles. Anytime you see people saying people are wicked, that's what they are telling you. That they observe their policies and stand by policies. And you start hearing they are wicked. People sung those things. And I knew if I kept going there, we are going to run into serious issue. I knew a whole lot of things had to change before I can bring it back. Because there is an advantage to private equities, especially in a church community where we have a lot of young people. Because it will create a lot of fiscal jobs for people who are in the community. But without me running any company per se, there is so much money to be made. Why focusing on what else I'm called to do? Serious money. Invest your money in foreign trade. And one of these days, you will make a profit. Verse 2. Put your investment in several places. Many places even, because you never know what kind of bad luck you're going to have in this world. Not in your life, in this world. So Jesus says, so far as you are in this world, you're going to have trouble. So Jesus has already told us. So it is wisdom. In business, we call it crisis anticipation. That whenever you're structuring your finances, you're structuring your businesses, that you anticipate periods where there is going to be a shock, an economic shock, where there is going to be scarcity, where there is going to be, you have to put it. Now, in very corporate, businesses, that people that have learned to structure corporately, they have even consultants who are put together as a team. They put them together as a team and gather them to study that industry, study their business environment, study and project, and then anticipate all the crises that may come through their businesses and prepare solutions for it before it comes. So whenever it comes, there is already a handbook of solutions ready to react. That's how corporate businesses run. You must do crisis anticipation. If this happens, this is how we're going to react to it. If this happens, this is how we're going to respond to it. If this happens, and then they put all those things together and put it, it's powerful. When you're well planned for the future. So look at the mindset of investment. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, New King James. Hold that neighbor and read it as loud as you can to that neighbor. One to go. So So withholding more than is right. Remember, I told you savings 101 for beginners. Savings 101. You have to have prosperity savings, right? You have to prepare for old age and legacy, right? Then you have to have short-term investment savings. That should have the bulk of your savings, right? To put in money. But you also have bulk project savings. You remember that? To execute things like education, housing, and all those things. You have to have that. Now, I said that's for basic people. So, you notice that. So, if you notice, bulk project savings is for you. Housing, vehicles, some of the things you want to do. If you're starting out in life, you want to furnish your parlor, your sitting room. You want to furnish your room and you're starting out. You want to save to a point where even if you don't do all of them together, you'll be able to get the settee. You'll be able to now get the dining table and the settee. The next phase, you get your electronics, your televisions, and then you can get some air conditioner or something. Is that okay? So that's project. There are people that think that having money is holding it like this. It go hold on, they see them. It go. So I have a friend who's my classmate, and you know, became a few years ago, became a manager of a bank, one of the banks in town, and he comes now trying to use, you know, our connect, and pastor, we need your account. Give me one account. And he's a neighbor to one of our members. This member was part of the earliest set of people that went through our business school. I used to teach business schools, and then because I really needed our people to understand business. So, and I've already shown a few of them some of my ways of doing things. And then the person turned and said, "You want pastor account?" He said, "Let me tell you a secret. Money no dey pastor account. Why? Money must work. Every money you just leave in the bank is making others rich. So there are people that just want to keep that money and keep seeing it increasing and how much is increasing in the bank, and it gives them joy. That's poverty mentality. That's what? What did I say? That's what? Because if you remember, I told you that even your posterity savings should not be in savings account. I told you, there are low risk portfolio investments that you have to put in. And because it's posterity, there are low risk portfolio investments. So where the Lord says, do not put your investment in several places. There are three classes of investments you must make. One, low risk. Two, mid risk. Three, what? High risk. I told you that last time. So it's important. Anything that is for the future, don't put it in anything high risk. Don't. I know you want to make a lot of money now. Just listen to the wisdom of God. Do not put everything you have, because that thing is like, you know, somebody told me, say, "Pastor, I just entered this thing. It's like money printing machine." I said, "Now, so they print until it breaks down." I say, just structure yourself. Once God delivers you from covetousness, you're going to be wiser than your generation. Structure yourself. So he told the bank manager, "Pastor, no, they leave money for banko." So if you're thinking that you just want to have his account, so you have some 100 million that is cooling down there, you'll be disappointed. For me, money must be working all the time. What did I say? It must be working all the time. Say, "I hear." Come on, say, "I hear." So there is one who withholds. He likes to hold back. People that hold back don't become good investors. People that are afraid of losing what they have, so they protect it. People that withhold more than is right. There is bread for eating. You should eat. You should eat. But when you withhold the one you should sow, not the one you should eat, the one you should plant, not the one you should eat, it leads to poverty. So no matter how much people earn, this thing drives them back to poverty because they do not respect this. Write down. Make sure you're writing. Watch who is not writing. And when next you come to church, don't sit by their side. They are not wise. Write down. You don't build wealth by spending most of what you earn. You don't build wealth by spending most of what you earn. Wealth is built by growing and multiplying what you earn. Wealth is built by growing and multiplying what you earn. You don't build wealth by spending most of what you earn. Wealth is built by growing and multiplying what you earn. Your value for wealth will always drive your investment philosophy. Your value for wealth will always drive your investment philosophy and determine your investment habits. The value you have for wealth. There are people I have met, and many of them wonderful people. Many of them even anointed believers. Many of them the nicest people you can meet. What they value is spending. They don't value wealth. They value cash that they can spend. They don't value wealth. And cash is not wealth. Cash is the servant of wealth. May God grant you understanding. So, I'm going to show you three classes of people. The poor, the rich, and the wealthy. I'm going to show you three classes of people. The poor, the rich, and the wealthy. And I'll show you their mindset and how they relate to money. Number one, the poor see money as a means of exchange for their needs. That's how the poor. They see money as a means of exchange for their needs. That's why whenever you see a poor person who is working hard, you know, being poor doesn't define the state of your financial account now. No, being poor is a belief system and a mindset. A rich man may stay 1 year and not have access to as much money as he may fell on hard times. But give him a little more time, he's going to come out of it. So absence of money doesn't mean you're poor. Poverty is a mindset. What did I say? What did I say? What a man believes and the way he thinks. What a man believes and the way he thinks. So look at how the poor sees money as a means of exchange for their needs. They see money as tokens of survival. So when you see them working, it's for what they will eat. You know, somebody was telling me, say, Pastor, I don't understand. Some of these guys that are artisans and things, you pay them money. The next day they come, they say they couldn't come out because you didn't pay them the money for yesterday. They didn't have transport. He said, but you gave them money 2 days ago and told them just come. I just don't understand these people. I said, because the money they make is for survival. They make money to meet their needs. And every time they are working hard, check what is driving them. I'm angry. How can every day to pay for 2-bedroom flat, to pay for 3-bedroom flat, somebody, the other time, they gave me quit notice. Anytime you see a poor person charge, he's charging to make money to meet needs. That $2 billion he's trying to raise is to pay rent. It's for survival. A rich man will go and find anywhere he can leverage, whether it's relationship, friendship, whether it has to do with, I have an uncle, I have this person. I say, please, can I leverage it and leverage it for 2 years and raise 5 to 10 million while squatting in a house? Because the money he's raising, a wealthy man doesn't raise money for needs. He's not raising money to survive. He's raising money for wealth. A poor man only works hard when there is pressure to survive. By the time the wife, you know, insults him, or somebody says a word, you know, look at you. Are you not a man? Won't you take care of your family? The guy will just go and say, God, I can't take this anymore. And when you see all those efforts that are going on, it's because of that. That's still poverty. So the poor see money as a means of exchange. They see money as tokens of survival. They only see the need for money as a means of meeting needs. That's poor. And that's why once the need is met, so the guy is fighting to raise 1 million for rent. And the moment he pays the rent, back to square one. Why did you put your foot off the throttle? Keep accelerating. If you could raise 1 million, raise another 3 million. Suddenly, because when you are running a race, if it's 100 meter sprint, once you cross that thing, you stop. Because the poor, see, only once he meets the need, he stops. He stops. He doesn't drive anymore. Because it's not vision driven, it's need driven. How many of you got that? Are you understanding me? That's why a lot of retails are for what? Poor people. They just make money to buy little now. Make money, buy little. Make money, buy little. It's for poor people. And that's one of the ways to make a lot of money. Either you're selling a few to the 1% of the society who can pay you big, or you're selling little to the masses. So one of the ways the rich become rich is by selling to the poor. Number two, let's move to the next one. The rich sees money as a means of exchange for their wants. Poor is their needs. Rich is for their wants. Rich, their needs are taken care of. They don't dream. They don't struggle to pay their rent. They don't struggle. They can even have some money, build their own houses. They don't struggle. Some who have good paying jobs, their offices are paying for some of those things, taking care of it. They're not thinking about their cars, whether they have fuel. They can fuel their cars, they can move, they have vehicle. Their basic needs. What they now work for is their wants, not their needs. They have a whole lot of things in their minds. They saw how Emeka Joburg came back. I'm waiting to use Mercedes to them. And how they talk to him as a small boy. So he has Camry 2018, and it's okay. Camry 2018, but this time around, it's not about Camry, na lie. He must get that Mercedes. Because of that thing that happened in village, when he wanted to talk, and Emeka Joburg, that is a young boy, says, sit down. And he woke him, where go? Money is talking. And That becomes his wants. He needs to belong. He has to. So he's, everything is about what he wants. He has these dreams and these things about money. When you check all the dreams he has about money, it's always about what he will spend on. That's his dreams about money. So the rich, I want you to listen, sees money as a means of exchange for their wants. They see money as something to be spent so they can live big. That's the rich. They see money as something to be spent so they can live big. The rich make money to spend on wants and liabilities. The size of their house matters to them. The size of flat screen, that the kind of setting in their house, these things are very important to them. And so once they make money, they are thinking about the next big thing they are going to buy, how they are going to change their clothes, the kind of gold chains they are going to wear, the kind of designers they are going to, for me, I don't wear, so give me the best, you know, the best watches. They don't even know that the wealthy don't buy expensive things to use. They buy them as investment. There is a class of investment that most rich people don't know. It's for wealthy people. It's called collectibles. So when you see Bugattis and you see Ferraris and you see all those things, Bentleys, all those classic cars, Rolls Royce, they are not for shows. They are investments. Okay, let me keep quiet. So when you see them sitting down in an art auction and they are pricing a paint for $3 million and they are buying that painting, there is a reason. We'll get to that class. Let me come down first. How many of you are getting it? Tell me what I told you about the poor. The what? And so he talking of what? Survival. So every time they are making money is so they can meet needs. So every plan they have for money is to meet their needs. So you see a student and he say, the money they give me at home is not enough. The money my parents or my guidance give me is not enough. I really need to be making money to support myself in school. Poverty. I didn't make money to support myself in school. I became a millionaire by the grace of God before I wrote my final exam. And being a millionaire in that time is more a millionaire than now, because millions had value. There was no me surviving school for what? It was not survivor. I had a date that I would be a mega millionaire by 24. It was a vision. It was written down as a plan. I was walking towards it. So when you see a student that does business for survival, and you see a student that has a financial goal of being wealthy, they are not the same. The other one in school will be owning properties. The other one will eat his property. I'm telling you, this one will have 800,000 naira. Use it to go and buy land. This other one will have 1.5 million and do nothing with it. But both of them are students. This one even earned more money, but his visions and value for wealth is different. Is off. Something is wrong about it. And hear me. If you were raised with all due respect by parents who struggled financially, and you were raised in an environment where almost everybody struggles financially, the default is that you already have a poverty mindset. You have to now uninstall to install a new program. You're coming from a place. Just know it. Your mindset is poverty driven. You got to understand that. So there is a damage that the wisdom of God has to do on your mindset. And then at best, you must know that at best, poverty has a way of making people's greatest ambition be about being rich. So it ends at richness, the kind of car you can now drive. That's why every single money the person makes, he wants to prove a point. You're going through a hard time, but you're wearing a 750,000 wig. You want to look rich, but you're not wealthy. Did you get that? Are you understanding me? Wave your hands. That's why when you see very serious women that are serious about wealth, not all, it's a choice. Not all. This is not a law. I'm saying that you see some of them, they just cut their hair. They don't have time. They are very focused. Very focused. Just cut the hair and be treating it well and be moving. Sometimes they do the kind of dreads that can last them for very long. They don't want that competition of who wore bone straight and who didn't wear, who wore bone straight or who didn't. It doesn't, you see, what gives you your self-esteem comes from your value system, what you value. I told people, I said, there are people that have better cars. When they bring out their flashy cars than I have, better things than I have, but they don't, it doesn't move me. I've never gone to a place and see somebody carrying one car, it moves me. You don't have the kind of asset I have. Wealthy man can wear three quarter and palm silpas, and he's as full. His value system is different. His focus is very different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands. Are you sure? Are you sure? What did I say the rich sees money as? Huh? Something to be so they can live. And those things are liabilities. That means they spend money on them and the thing starts depreciating. The things don't bring money for them. They are not appreciable assets. Now, I want to look at this. Most rich people are only one undesirable event away from being broke and out. That's the difference between the wealthy and the rich. Most people that have, because sometimes the rich looks like the wealthy. You know, in the context of our teaching, because there are outside you can go, don't go and be arguing about the word rich. I'm just using to teach you something. Because there are people that we're teaching, and when they are saying rich, they mean wealthy. But I need you to distinguish between the rich and the wealthy. Most rich people are only one undesirable event away from being broke and out. They do not know what disaster will come upon the world. One shaking. I was watching a few weeks ago, fire outbreak in Calabar. And there are people that have these traders, and you see people crying. The man said, goods, what wood and machineries that he used, he said nothing came out. Was hundreds of millions. One sat down with his hand like this crying. He said he's finished. One fire outbreak, and that man that is rich is out. Out. One government policy that affects a sector where most of their investment, that guy is out. One unforeseen thing. There are people that think they have money, and just two people that are close to them fall into sick. You know, their kind of sicknesses. In 3 years, their money is drained. 3 years, devourers. In the name of Jesus, every devourer, wherever they are, their mouths are closed. May their hands be withdrawn from our lives, from our properties, from our families. We rebuke, I rebuke, I rebuke, I rebuke every devourer of time, every devourer of joy, every devourer of peace, every devourer of finances, every devourer of opportunities. We rebuke you now. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Every devourer is rebuked for our sake. We are insured against that. Oh, we are insured. But we must be wise. Somebody said, God's Wisdom Edition. So look at celebrities. Sometimes you see them actors. They act on, and they are wearing the best clothes. They you know, their publicists are working on them. You see them out there, you feel like they are living a big life. One little sickness, they are on social media and they are raising money for them. They don't have money. You start hearing after playing for Nigeria. The question, was he not earning money when he was playing for Nigeria? Most footballers forget that they can't play football till they are 45. That is, it has a short shelf life. And most of them forget that. And that by the time they start, apart from a few, very few that are extraordinary, and in the last decades, last 2 decades, only maybe 2 players I know in terms of football. There are other sports like Messi and Ronaldo that as they are growing older, their value keeps appreciating. Everybody, once you start hitting 30, highest 32, what happens to the value? You can't earn forever. And then you find that they come out, and some of them think they made investments. They said they made investments, but they were not wise investors. They come out, they are broke. Many of them are broke. They are suffering right now. I'm telling you the truth. So athletes, traders, politicians, that's why many politicians cannot. So the moment they leave power, are you seeing the people trying to rescue Nigeria now? They were the ones in power 2 years ago. They just handed over 2023. They are back because they've been skimmed out of the corridors of power. What have you noticed? That even all they stole, they've no longer know how to create wealth. These guys enjoyed stealing wealth without enterprise. So they now have a lot of money. They have raised their standard of living. Their children are in places where they are paying. They have property tax that they are paying in all those places they bought. So they are, look at the level of standard they have raised themselves. And the corruption pipe has been blocked. They are no longer in power. In 2 years, they are almost broke. I'm the one telling you. Most politicians, if you take them out of politics, if they are not in government in 8 years, they are done. They have nothing. Most of the hotels they go to build fold. They can't run the businesses because they didn't build it. They just stole money and built it. They didn't create wealth. So whenever you see, my father was rich, our family was doing well, things were working for us, and they fell on hard time. They didn't build wealth. They just focused on being rich. And the point is, when you don't learn from history, there, apart from prophecy, one of the best way to predict the future is to study what has been, because there is nothing new. What has been will be. If you don't study history and know what happened to your father, know what happened to your grandfather, it will happen again. It will happen again. If you don't know what happened to the generations behind, it will happen again. So that's where you learn wisdom. So when I see people, like people who have high-paying jobs, that's another set of people. high-paying jobs. You're working in an organization, they are paying you $5 million a month, plus other allowances. You have even remote jobs and things that you do. And I was talking to somebody, I said, you're making dollars now, it's entering your head. Who told you that remote jobs last forever? You're working for NGOs, non-profits. It don't last forever. It doesn't last forever. So when people pride themselves in being rich, they are only rich people, I call them, just people that are one trial away from being broke. One shaking away. And that's how you have rich companies. They pride themselves in audio branding. They want to look more successful than they are doing real businesses. So everybody's pushing, packaging, empty content. I believe in branding, but I believe that there are two best ways that gives you a more trusted brand. Number one is the integrity of your business. That's number one. Number two is the value and productivity of your business. It speaks for itself. Yes, wear it a good cover. Yes, package it well. People will look at the outward before they come to meet with you. But there is no packaging you do on the outside that will make a person come in and experience nonsense and repeat itself. It will not. So it's important that you know these things. There are companies that during COVID, just that few months that there was a shutdown, just that few months they were out of business. Even big corporations that government had to give money to bail them out because they didn't have strong asset base. You didn't get what I said? Wave your hands. Say, I hear. Now, let me tell you something about the rich. The wealthy, sorry. The wealthy also spends money. Okay, but let me put it this way. The wealthy see money as a means of exchange for value. It's value. Not for wants, it's value. They look at money in terms of value. They don't mind paying so much Abba for something. But what you've noticed is that thing they are paying, they've estimated the value. You may even come and say they paid more money, but what they paid for is not for the product. It may be for something else apart from the product. It might be paying for time. It might be paying for durability. It might be paying for something else. But it's for value. Now, write this down. The wealthy also see money as seed. They see money as seed to be planted and multiplied. Every time he sees money, he's seeing an opportunity to plant and multiply. The wealthy make money by multiplying it. So when you see a wealthy man, when he earns money, he's not seeing that in his earning as something to spend. He's seeing it as seed. When he saves it, he's saving it bulk for investment. The rich invest little and spend more. The wealthy invest most of their money and spend from the interest that comes from their investments. That's how the wealthy works. Somebody say mindset shift. Am I boring you? Am I wasting your time? Are you learning something? So I want to teach you something. Listen. Listen very carefully. The wealthy spend also on luxuries and liabilities. The difference between the wealthy and the rich is that they only use recurrent ROIs, That means return on investment. So if the wealthy wants to start traveling the world, he doesn't earn money, save, and start using it to travel the world. That's not how he does. The wealthy's mindset, this is the billionaire mindset. What he does is he earns money, saves it, and invests it. Invest enough so that the return of investment can start funding his travels. So when this return of investment funds this travel, is recurrent. He funds the travel. He comes back again. He can travel as much as he's traveling because the investments that is bringing the profit, the seed investment is still intact. And he's not even using all the ROIs. He's not using all his profits from the investment. So he's still even increasing the assets and he's giving him more. And he puts it and puts. Every time a wealthy man wants luxury, he makes an investment for it. That's how the wealthy think. That's how they use luxury. If you take it further, which will take us to what we are going to do next Sunday, the law of financial leveraging. If you take it further, the wealthy will even go as much as borrowing against their assets, their investments. They have their stocks, their mutual funds. They have different things. The strategy is they provide liquidity without selling assets. Now, it is also a means of tax avoidance because you don't tax debts. Did you get that? Are you understanding me? The wealthy is, the difference is intelligence. Just the mind, how you use money, your relationship with money, how you handle money. That's just it, the mind. So you never see a wealthy man that if somebody comes with a very big car, he say, hey, who say, hey, I know you're a broke guy. It doesn't move him. It doesn't move him. A story was told, true life story, of two friends. This one met, has a very fine paying job. This is not a true life story. A very paying, very good paying job, and was able to, you know, get a house in a particular estate, a high class estate, and they were doing so well, you know, and has this very fine car and this. And then he met his own friend. They've been old classmates. He came newly into the city and met his old friend. They met and talked and everything. And he was like, different things. Like, now saw the car. The guy was just a little sedan. You know, something unassuming, something simple. And he didn't look rich. And he was now talking to the friend, I can cut soap for you. Now told the friend, you know, where he was living, the friend's mind. And then asked the friend if they can visit him. Yes, he told him he can visit him. They visited him in another estate too. And he came and saw, decent house also in that estate. Different things. And he came in. And as they were talking, he found out that the friend owns the estate where he lives, owns the house where he lives, and owns his estate that he's also living. And he was still on Ajumi. And all the cars parked in his house. He, the friend, has bigger cars than him. And he was smiling. He said he repented. He felt foolish that day. That's the difference between the wealthy. The wealthy has nothing to prove to anybody. They are not trying to impress anybody. They are not trying to appear. There are a lot of people that their goal is to look rich. Don't look rich. Be wealthy. Be what? Be wealthy. So the wealthy use their earnings to make investments. Okay, I have a few. And they use the returns of their investments to fund their lifestyles. Why the investment keeps yielding?
That's what I call wealth orchard. You don't go to buy fruits. You plant the fruits and it keeps yielding anytime you want. I call it wealth orchard, growing wealth. The wealthy does not use their earnings, hear me. They use their earnings to make investments. Then they use the returns to fund their lifestyles while the investments keeps yielding. So the key, I'm getting close now. The key is to design your financial structure to grow money rather than to spend money. That's the key. To design your financial structure. You see, that's where we call financial management, stewardship. You have to do your budgeting. You have to create a structure to grow money rather than to spend money. When you plant a seed, you get a tree. When you have a tree, you can enjoy the fruits always. Seasonally, get more seeds to plant another. And the investment tree will continue to remain. That's how it works. That's how it works. Hi. Did I lose you somewhere? Huh? Lift your hands. Say, I'm wise. Say, I can never hear these things and be poor in life. Say, I will never be poor. I can never be broke. See, you see this thing I'm teaching you? I want to finish this one, but I may not finish it because I'm watching time. For the sake of those, there are some people that if it's only us, there are people, I know them, I see their eyes. They can stay here with me till 3 p.m. Where are they going to? To what? But you see people that they, hey, church don't take this, church don't take. Haven't you noticed that church for pros is not church as usual? Have you not noticed that actually the real church for usual ends in third service? You have not noticed it? That this is something else that we are doing. You see, when they now finish now, you now see the reason that they are feeling tired. They'll just go outside, snapping, go, chop bones, chop up. You see, go home. If you see what they will do from now to evening, you'll not be wondering. But when they are talking about their future, they want to die. The only thing that gives them strength is when they are wasting their future. So when you check all the things that is giving them energy, watch movie, gossip, walk around, let's hang out. That's all. And there is time for it too. There is time. Not everybody has the heart for wisdom. Did you get what I said? There are people that this kind of thing I'm telling now, I'm talking, is too high for them. Pastor. Because all they are used to is send money, please help me. And every time we say, favor is coming to you. Let me tell you how a lot of religious people interpret it. Somebody will send me money. If that's the first thing that comes to your mind, poverty is at work. I told you, for the wealthy, it's value. Somebody will send you money, that's favor. So if they give 10 testimonies, is I was now not even believing for it. When pastor said we are going to receive favor, somebody now just sent me money for my rent. That's good for a start. You gave that testimony this year. 5 years after, you're still giving that testimony. Even angels don't tire for you. When next there is favor, they start looking for somebody else. Move, you move. It's good. Everybody, there is every great thing starts little. There is no problem. At that phase, that's where you were. 3 years after, you're still giving that testimony. Somebody now gave you money for rent. Somebody now did this. Somebody now. Is that, imagine. I'll give you the rest next Sunday. God bless you. We need a little more time on this. And I've watched my time. If I go into it, we will not finish. So let's stop here. If you really want to give God praise, give God a good praise. Lift your hands and begin to pray in the Spirit. Angels of fortune are assigned to us. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Because we are going to go into the prophetic. We are going to deploy angels to work. Angels of fortune are assigned to us. There are angels of fortune. Legosa, close your eyes. This is serious business, oh, serious business. Close your eyes. We are about to give instructions. We are about to give instructions. There's about to be heavenly deployments. Manlegota, Lebra de Zoka. Well, that's where we have the edge. We have the edge. For those without God, it's just mental. But for us, it's beyond mental. It's beyond intellect. It's beyond rhetorics. The munda kate. We have the advantage of grace. And we are going to use it always, all the time. Pray in the Spirit. Stir up. Stir up the gift of God in you. There is power in you. There is favor at work. There is power in you. There is ability in you. There is an ability that commands money. There is an ability that opens doors. The power of God is within you. Pray in the Spirit. Close your eyes. Kilaga. We have dealt with the level of information. We have dealt with the level of wisdom. We are now entering the level of power. The level of power. The level of power. Likaru shekete. Libregaruza. Ligerikaraya. Libregeruz. Ingerusha. Libregemarata. Ligerushagata. Libregelutaya. Ligarushagata. Libranukara. Come on, stir the waters. Stir the waters. Stir the waters. Sons of God. Love sons. Stir the waters. Libregerusa. Ligrada. Legorahata. Libregeda. Lift your hands. Say, Father, enlarge my mind. Enlarge my vision. Enlarge my mind. To multiply wealth across borders. Across borders. From foreign lands. From foreign lands. If you mean it, open your mouth and pray. Libo, riga, enlarge my mind. Enlarge my visions. To multiply wealth. To create wealth. From foreign lands. Across borders. Across borders. Across borders. Lebokara, Libregete, Ruseka, Libregeda, Ribaraka, Riboshakata, Lebregete, Libregete, Libregelagato, Libregeta, Iparados, Iparaga, Epara, Robaya, Libregeta, Iboraga, Libregete, Libredekaya, Lebragataya, Iparada, that we may cast our bread upon the waters. That we may take our grains among and across foreign lands in the name of Jesus. Investments across foreign lands. Ipara, Libregedo, Libarikarosha, Libregeraka, Libregota, Libregeta. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, open my eyes to opportunities. Be
beyond the familiar, opportunities beyond my industry, in the name of Jesus, opportunities beyond the familiar, opportunities of investments beyond what I'm familiar with, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Liponga, Laya, Rubareka, Ligarosha, Libregereka, Libreso, Ligarunde, Iyakaha, that our eyes be opened, that our eyes be opened, that our discernment be sharpened to recognize opportunities beyond the familiar, beyond our familiar territories, our familiar industries, our familiar sectors. Open our eyes. Iborika, it is time. Leborito, Libregete, Ligarunde, Libregetaya, Lebaikolaba, Libreto, Ligarunde, Luzei Barakande, Luzekayaba, Libredusa, Libregabayuta, Legurabota, Libredusa, Ebaikata, Iparada. Opportunities open up, opportunities open up beyond my familiar territory, beyond my familiar industry, beyond my familiar land. Opportunities begin to call for me, 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 right now, right now, right now, in the name of Jesus. La boya, li pregeto, la bushegete, la yebokoto, le pradaka. Lift your hands. As I declare this word, you shout your amen. Wherever one door has closed in your investments, in your places of work, wherever you tear the land, I command, let seven new doors open. In the name of Jesus, wherever one door has closed, I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, let seven new doors be opened. Are you ready? Lift your hands. Say, Father, enlarge my influence. Connect me with people that will lead me to strategic investments, and grant me the discernment to discern the wrong investments from the right investments, to know the right from the wrong. Grant me a wise heart, a discerning heart, an understanding heart, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth one more time and pray. We do serious business. Le brada, le bregeta, le brandekaya, le bayakatosha. Thank you, Lord. Grant us an understanding and a wise heart to discern right investments from wrong investments, in the name of Jesus. Le bradekaya, le brandekadesha, le bradekaya lade, le brade sundelika, le brande sundelibrahata, eba lagatea, le brade sundalabaha, le bradika rosa, le bradika rada. Lift your hands and give him thanks for what he has done here today. Give him thanks.